If you would please get your Bibles out and open up to Matthew chapter 17, I want to read to you an illustration that kind of sets the tone as we brag about our earthly fathers, about one as we get into bragging about our heavenly Father. But I thought I'd read this to you because it's from a book that I have in my library. And was looking for some examples, and I thought, well, it'd be better just to read what the writer said and be able to share this with you. So here's what he shares as an illustration with this name of Jesus being the Son of God. He said that one of the greatest moments in modern Olympic Games came in 1992. Derek Redmond, anybody familiar with that name? So 1992, Derek Redmond. I know some of you lived during 1992, so Derek Redmond was his name. He was a British record holder. He held the record in 400 meters and was representing his country in Barcelona, Spain. With 65,000 fans in the stands and millions more watching on television around the world, he was prepared to run in this 400-meter semifinal. The starting gun sounded. And remember, he's a record holder. The starting gun sounded, and Redmond was running with the leaders. Then a hamstring muscle in his right leg ripped. He fell onto the track a full 250 meters from the finish line. A gifted athlete who had already endured several operations on his Achilles tendons was out of the race, out of the goal of winning a gold. It would prove to be his last race. Yet he tried to get up and he hobbled along the track towards the finish line. It was then that something wonderful and touching happened in the stands. Derek's father, Jim Redmond, had been watching the race from way up top in the top row of the Olympic Stadium. He came down from his top row seat, climbed a 4.5-foot concrete slab, and bolted onto the track. "You don't have to do this," Jim told him. "You got nothing to prove." When his son told him that he had to find a way to finish, Jim said, "Well, okay then. We started everything together. As father and son, we will finish this together." A loving and supportive father took his hurt son's arm, drew it around his shoulder, and the two of them began to making their way along the track. The father became, to the use of his words, a human crutch for the son. They made it to the finish line. The clapping of a huge 65,000 crowd that was now more interested in Derek's hobble than the ones who actually finished and won the race. With the official clock already turned off, Redmond's race going into the record book as abandoned. But Derek and Jim crossed the finish line. It was just his fatherly instinct, he said. When you see your son in trouble, then you want to help him. The father-son stories like these touch our hearts for what they tell about family bonds and the closeness and the love. But there's really no father and son story in history that even becomes to a rival of Father God and the Son Jesus. So we're going to look at that right now. Verse 1 of Matthew 17. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, and the brothers of James, and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." And while he was still speaking to them, a bright cloud covered them. And a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love, and with him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Now, that's not the only time that God spoke in a loud voice. At Jesus' baptism, when he came up out of the water, God spoke that "this is my Son in whom I am well pleased," because of what he was going to fulfill. He was going to fulfill all those prophecies. He's going to fulfill proving to the world that he is the Son of God, that he is one who was sent by God in order to save people from sin. And we got all those other names that we can live our life by and what they mean to us. Because that's why John wrote his letter. I share with you all these miracles in my letter of the book of John in order for you may believe, and by your belief you may have life in his name. And so how to get his names into our life, our daily life, not our weekend life, not our Sunday life, our life. That's what this is meant for. In this Son and this Father relationship is an example to us of what kind of relationship God would like to have with his children of believers. That we can have and be called and follow Jesus to a life that the Father would say, "I'm well pleased with." I don't know about you, but when I get depressed, I feel like I'm not pleasing God. Now, some of it is Satan's work, and some of it is my guilt and my shame, because I still make mistakes. Well, it's not about the mistakes that are undeliberate. It's about the deliberate mistakes. I don't know about you, but do you ever catch yourself still in deliberate sin? I mean, you deliberately do it. You know it's sin, but you do it anyways because it feels good. Kind of sin. And then Satan loves to use those times in order to get us to feel like this father-son relationship. Well, don't even go to the Father. He's angry with you. He's upset with you. Well, he might be. I mean, my dad was angry at me when I didn't listen to him. I didn't know what listening was. Oh, I heard him. I wasn't listening. I knew what he said. I just wasn't listening. Listening usually happens is when you absorb it and you take into reflection how good it would be that, hey, that would be a good thing to do. There's some wisdom in that, and it probably would give me a better life, so why not just obey that? And the Bible is full of instructions from God. And I know that the world has been sold a false bit of good sometimes from us as Christians, but that's really just Satan getting at our kind of relationship issue that we have with God and working through us instead of giving them a message of hope that God, you can be well pleased to God. God can actually look down at you and say, I am well pleased with you, with your name. But we have to focus on Jesus. We have to be a disciple of His. We have to be a learner of His. If He's the way, the truth, and the life, then as I follow and practice the way, the truth, and the life that He models in His life, not a Sunday-only thing, but an everyday relationship with God. So I need to every day listen to God. So I open up His Word and I spend a portion of the time looking at it and saying, speak to me, Father. Tell me something. Now again, I have to admit, when I was growing up, now you guys can help me here. Did you ever think that some of your instructions from your dad was just way off? I mean, like, yeah, okay, yeah, Dad, you're right, yeah, I'm not going to do that. You know, well, son, be kind to so-and-so. Even though they said something bad to you, be kind to them. Go out and find something good. Yeah, right. I'll find something good. I'll get them back for what they did for me because I'll just return it. And we still do that as adults because we're still children in some way. We still need to mature. We need to grow. And spiritually thinking, you can be 70 years old and be a baby in Christ. But we can still well please the Father. When Harry Campbell was baptized into Christ, but he kind of felt like there's no way that God would have anything to do with him. But it was explained to him that God would forgive him if he would bring his sins to God, because he had alcohol and he had gambling and he had all these other things, mistreatment. I think there was an affair somewhere. And if he could just take those to God and say in a genuine way, I am ashamed of those things that disobeyed you, then please forgive me. Then the Father is well pleased that you trust Him enough to bring your sins to Him, because that's the reason why He sent His Son, because the sacrifice of all those animals would not cover the sin. But the Son relationship, the only blood was God giving of Himself to cover your sin. And to wipe it away to where He would look at you and say, what was that sin you said you did? I can't even remember it. Why? Because I choose to look through my Son's blood and I can't see it anymore. It's been wiped away. You're my child now. And I don't know about you. When's the last time you ever went down to the hospital and the new baby thing was happening and everybody was sitting around just depressed and looking bad, and you'd walk in and you'd say, is everything okay? Is if death happened? No, we just had a baby. You mean you're that depressed about having a baby? We'd say, well, I don't know, why are you depressed about having a baby like that? I see fathers who are gruff, who are tough, who are non-emotional, cry like children when they hold their baby for the first time. And that's how the Father sees you. When you birth yourself into a new life. I got an amen over here, right? Yeah. Amen. She knows. She knows how to grab everybody and bring them in. Wow. Oh, can a child of God know how to grab people and bring them into the Father? She's going to grow up loving her dad. Her daddy is going to teach her how to pull back a bow. Her dad's going to put her on the, well, probably grandpa will do this, put her on the John Deere. And she's going to get to know the farmer. And mom is going to get with all the ladies and they're going to say, oh, don't make my daughter that way. We're going to take her shopping. And grandma's going to take her shopping. And there's just this love going everywhere. Because she's a child. And you know, our Father is still that way, even with 70-year-old people that don't know Him, that would birth Him. It's never too late to become a child. It's never too late to be well-pleasing to our Father. But listen to what He had to say. I mean, this whole thing, this transfiguration, I know I've sat through classes before in a very academic setting, and they kind of dissect this whole thing. But I tell you, what about the transfiguration of the relationship of the Father and the Son? You know why there's bright light? It's because God's involved. You know what brightens our day? It's because God's involved. And He wants to be involved in your life. Peter calls Jesus Lord. We talked about that last week. There is now a sign-up sheet on the back table. If you want a King Jesus book, say, get me one and write your name down because we're going to order some. It's tough to make Jesus Lord. But one of the thing is that we should have the same desire to make Him Lord as we want Him, as I need Him as our Savior. And there are sometimes I didn't want to like the authority of my dad, so to speak, by him being able to guide my life, because I wanted to guide my life. There's been a couple of times I thought that I could actually do better on my own. And I was at that ripe age of 11, 10, 8 years old, thinking I could figure this thing out. I don't need my parents to do that. And my dad said in a very loving way, well, if you think you can, I'll help you pack. Now, I thought, well, wait a minute. I don't want you to help me pack. Do you want me to go? Oh, no, son, I don't want you to go. But if you think that you could, you know, figure it out on your own, I'm all for that. Well, I knew I couldn't figure it out. Some of us, in a spiritual way, no matter what age we get, we pack our bags. And we say, Father, we're ready to live this life the way I want to. I don't know if God's going to pack our bags. But I tell you one thing, in Luke 15, if I go, He'll let me go. And when the son goes out and squanders everything that he's ever had, and then it gets to the point that he spends everything that he ever had in his inheritance because he asked for it early, where he couldn't hold a job, he couldn't do anything, he was eating, he was slopping the pigs, to the point that what was in the bucket that he was going to throw out to the pigs became very attractive because he was so hungry, he would eat it. And then he comes to his senses and says, now I know how I had it with the Father. My Father gave me shelter, provision, food to be His child. I don't need a mansion. I don't need to have all the cars I want to have. I just need to have a loving family, a loving dad. And that's what we need spiritually. Only if we see God that way. But I think what he says is that I've sent my son so that you could follow him to that kind of relationship that he had with me. Do we listen to Jesus when Jesus kind of displays this unique relationship with the Father? Jesus even himself says that he was one with the Father, kind of setting apart the kind of relationship that other ordinary men didn't have, and it's impossible to have without him modeling it and without us following it. Do we listen to Jesus when this father and one relationship and the intimacy that we see Jesus having with the Father, that he talks to him in respect? He still prays to the Father. I get that asked a lot. You know, when people get technical and they'll just say, if Jesus is God, why did Jesus have to talk to himself in heaven? Because he was modeling a relationship. In the relationship between him and the Father that we can have if we just only follow Jesus. To confess Jesus as the Son of God is to acknowledge that he bears a divine nature, because he did not sin, he did nothing wrong, and he was well-pleasing to the Father. But we can get to the point that all of our sins are washed away through Jesus' blood and his sacrifice as we deny ourselves and take up our own crosses on a daily basis, to the point to where the Father can look down on us and say, "This is my child, in him and in her I am well-pleased." You can't earn it. You just trust it. Then you want to go out and do whatever you can do for a father like that. See, I think we got it backwards. When we're talking about things that we could do for join the Father's work and stuff like that, we look at our schedules and we look at how tired we are and we look at our physical things and just say, there's no way the Lord is probably pleased with me anymore because I used to do those things. Now, well, I want to get away from the academic thing and get back to the relationship thing. The relationship that you have with the Father is eternal. And no matter how old you get, until the point of death, there are ways to create this relationship where you feel like and know that you're well-pleasing to the Father. And there's some things that you can do. Jesus taught them. You may not be able to walk from town to town, but you can call from town to town, from house to house. There's a lot of things we can do to still join God, no matter how old we get or how frail we get, in order that he could say, well, please. It's not really a program. It's all of us deciding to be children of God together. But we need to be with each other to encourage each other to stay focused on that. Remember last week I talked to you about a life coach that I have, and that he may be speaking, mentioned today at Labor Day. The whole thing is not about that he's correcting everything that's gone bad in my life and he deals with those kind of things. What he does on a constant basis is keeps on encouraging me to reach the goal that I've set. Sometimes we as children of God have not set the goal high enough to the point to say, I want to have a well-pleasing relationship with the Father. That's what I want. And the way I'm going to have that is I'm going to buckle down with my discipleship of Jesus Christ. And that he's making me a disciple. And he's using me to be kind to one another. He's using me to be involved in the body's life enough and to enable to encouragement and the one another passages to come alive through me. When I hear the command, carry each other's burdens, you kind of just sit around and say, usually I get selfish with that and say, I got enough burdens of myself, I'm going to leave you alone. And to the point we isolate ourselves from each other. And you know what a lot of people leave Christ's children about? There's people there that don't even care about me. That's what they say. Now, that might be true. That might be a false prophethood. It's not deliberate, But at least it explains to me that we need to be encouraging. God is well pleased with the Son. So to be well pleasing with the Father, we follow Jesus. We call Him Abba Father. Jesus expressed the heart of Himself in that relationship to God in Mark 14. He uses these words that His purpose for living is to do the will of the Father, not His own will. Remember when He said that? Remember, He said it more than once, but also what we see is Him in the garden. If there's another way of doing this, let's do it another way. I tell you, if loving you guys when you're ugly and when it's for the worst is pleasing to the Father, I'm always going to the Father and say, can't there be another way? Because you tell me, go do something good to those who do something bad. So that coals of fire would heap over there and then they would feel ashamed on how they treated you because you treated them back with goodness. Sometimes I tell you, well, Father, there's got to be a different way. Can I have just a little tad of revenge? Just give me that pleasure. It would make me so happy. And then He says in Romans, revenge is for me. God will revenge. And He'll do it righteously. And I believe the reason why He didn't hand it to us is because we'll throw unrighteousness in there. And so He just says, oh, revenge is going to happen, but I'll handle it. You just go out and make me pleased and do what I ask you to do. Do what my Son did. Jesus spoke to the Father as a child would speak to their father. He had confidence. He had security. It's not my will, but Your will. Your will is solid, Father. And I will do it, even if it's to the point of death. So, are you listening to Jesus when He says, your Abba Father has accepted and adopted you? Are you listening to Jesus that He's big enough to take care of you? Are you listening to Jesus when He says, your Father, your Heavenly Father, challenges you to grow? He doesn't want you to become stale and stagnant. He wants you to always be ever evolving in the knowledge of becoming more like His Son, to mature and to grow. You never get too old in order to be a child of God. So, I want you to remember the child relationship that Jesus had with the Father in order to go this far for you, to death on the cross, and why it was needed. And why, even if Jesus said, couldn't there be another way, that Jesus would actually turn around and say, but it's not what I want. It's what you want. That pleases God. If you want to be well-pleasing to Him, make it your goal to please Him. And we're going to pray, may I call you Father? Express them in a prayer and then meditate on it and take of those items and remember the Son of God. Read this with me. The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Happy Father's Day.